It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Let me tell you what's happening today, or what's not happening today. And with the what's happening today, there's a lot of very technical, confusing stories in the news that are extremely important, and I hope I can convey them, but your brain might be a little twisted after today's Ray Appleton program. Sorry, we got comedy tonight down at DeCrawdaddy's. I'm going to need it after this. Believe me. It's been about 3 weeks since we spoke with Steve Hilton from the California podcast from Fox News. Every Tuesday at 1. Now, he's been MIA a lot. Today, he is not going to return. We just got a text that he has been called to the UK. Back home. Back across the pond, you know. Something's going on there. So, once again, Steve is not going to be able to join us today. Hopefully next week after a four-week absence. He will be here because every Tuesday at 1 is supposed to be him and me when he's not globetrotting, but globetrotting for real he is today. As he, again, he had to be called back to the UK, and we don't know why. Hopefully it's nothing ugly, so wish him well. Nothing major, we hope. You know, today I would have talked to him about the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which is being signed by the president. I mean, you talk about a real economy buster. Man. You know, it's not good. And one Republican that is fighting for her seat big time today, hint, she's the 56-year-old daughter of a former vice president. It looks like Liz Cheney is going to go down in Wyoming. It looks like she's going to lose it. I tell you right now, her campaign is bracing for a loss in today's contest. We got Wyoming and Alaska today, which is also kind of a final test for Donald Trump and his brand of so-called hardline politics. I guess you could say that ahead of the November general election, you know, the midterms coming up. So the former president has dominated the fight, and this is kind of surprising to many people, to shape the GOP in his image. He's done well. He's installed loyalists in practically every key general election matchup, from Arizona to Georgia to Pennsylvania. And the timing to today's contest, it comes, 8 days after his house was busted at Mar-a-Lago. And that's not going to help Liz Cheney at all, you know. So I'm betting she'll go down in a loss. I think she's betting she'll go down in a loss. We'll see. She's facing an individual who happens to be a Cheyenne ranching industry attorney who has harnessed the full fury of the Donald Trump campaign and former administration and all of that. That whole movement in her bid to expel Liz Cheney from the House. And she's, again, I'll say for the fifth time, she's probably gone. Coming this fall, this is different. At a pharmacy near you, you're going to be able to go in there and buy a hearing aid. Huh? The Food and Drug Administration is cutting loose with some new regulations that cut all the red tape by creating a new class of hearing aids that don't require a medical exam, don't require a prescription, don't require a special evaluation. One would assume this is going to put the hearing aid industry on its ear, but maybe not. I mean, but when you consider the cost, that's been a big obstacle for a lot of people. You know, fitting a device and all that can run around $5,000 to $8,000. Americans paying a lot of money for more hearing. And, you know, guess what? My hearing is officially shot. I've been considering one. Oh, I hate to admit that. Hate to admit that. But, you know, I'm up there a little bit. And Rudy Giuliani, a name you used to hear a lot. You don't hear it much anymore, but he's now the target of the Georgia probe in the 2020 election. What now, as this comes just a couple of days before Giuliani is supposed to testify in the Fulton County special grand jury? You know, that case and that whole investigation is ramping up. Ramping up to what? That's where some of the technical, confusing stuff in today's stories will enter in. Yeah. And speaking of Donald Trump. The former president's spokesperson has just ripped the you-know-what out of CBS, specifically the news anchor Nora O'Donnell, for alleging the FBI does not have his passports. Trump made headlines yesterday with a statement that he released on social media, Truth, of course, that the FBI stole three of his passports, calling this an assault on, at a very personal level, a level never before seen in this country. O'Donnell has now suggested that nobody has the passports, that FBI doesn't, the Department of Justice doesn't. How would she know? And this is becoming, again, confusing, as the former president has verbally said that he's declassified the sensitive records that the FBI seized from the Mar-a-Lago compound, and it was some time back. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday and last week. The Justice Department, by the way, is wrestling with another question about President G.W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. This goes back to unilaterally authorizing Cheney's chief of staff at the time, Scooter Libby, to do what was he accused of? To leak to select journalists, the key findings in highly classified intelligence in these community-wide reports from, you know, G2 on all of the Iraq's efforts to acquire weapons of mass destruction. This is all of a sudden a newsmaker again. What's going on with that? Told you there was some weird stuff here, you know. The First Lady has COVID. She's tested positive just weeks after her husband's recovery. We wish her well. Have you heard about California's new bounty hunter gun law? It's a kind of law that is modeled, here we go, after the Texas controversial fatal heartbeat abortion bill that our governor seems just so, he's so addicted to this thing that's going on in Texas. And that's, you know, that's enforced exclusively through private actions. This bill increases the odds that the U.S. Supreme Court will provide guidance on the extent to which states can use private, you know, plaintiff enforcement mechanisms. And again, it's very technical, to skirt federal judicial review. And what does all that mean? I swear, I'm going to try and straighten it out for you. But California is modeling everything after this Texas abortion bill. It makes us crazy. You know, gun laws, hard to comprehend in the first place. And when you start mixing it with what's going on in Texas, it's like, what the H, you know? And I can tell right now you're already very confused. And I'm going to try and unconfuse a lot of this today on the Ray Appleton program, I promise. Now, Fresno, California, USA Earth, a $1 million grant to Fresno's Planned Parenthood. As indicated by the local newspaper, is this an unnecessary giveaway of state funds? Yeah, this one could get very, very ugly. Gary Bredefeld is holding a press conference later today, and I've also asked him to be on the show to explain a little bit about his position on this. He is so vehemently opposed to this, it's not funny. And one that isn't so confusing is the Fresno City Council is considering paying for the defense of the council president, Nelson Esparza, who's facing criminal charges of extortion. Wow. Now, state law does give the city the right to pay for criminal defense costs of an elected official, although it's not a requirement and although they don't have to. So what would you want them to do? I realize they just talked about it on the last program. We're going to talk about it today, big time. I don't want my taxpayer money going for that. He got himself into it. He's got to get himself out of it. Period. End of statement. Anyway, it's going to be a wild day. You're going to be doing a lot of thinking today, all right? But I'm going to try and make it easy on you, I promise. And then we'll all go crawdaddies tonight and laugh. Yeah. 490-5858. Going to need to. 800-776-5858. It's News Talk 580-1059 KMJ, the Ray Appleton Program. I am glad you are here. Just stay there, all right? Thank you very much.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton, now.
Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
Well, I'm going to let him do the splaining on this one. Him being Gary Bredefeld. He'll be here in about 20 minutes ahead of his press conference. Okay, so you're going to get a little bit of the juice first on KMJ about where this is going with his point of view. $1 million, you know, a grant. So to speak, to Planned Parenthood locally that was, I was going to explain it. No, I want him to explain it. Yeah. I want him to tell the story. Now, California's new gun law, it's new gun control legislation. It's modeled after the controversial fetal heartbeat abortion bill in Texas, which is enforced exclusively through private actions. And I'll explain. The bill increases the odds that, I told you, the U.S. Supreme Court will provide guidance on the extent to which states can use the private plaintiff enforcement mechanism to skirt federal judicial review. Yeah. So on July the 22nd, I'm already hesitant to get into this, California enacted SB 1327, gun legislation explicitly modeled after the Texas controversial fetal heartbeat abortion bill. Heartbeat. Why can't I say that word? And that's, again, something that's enforced through private actions. I'll explain. So, Governor Newsom previewed the law last December after a majority of the U.S. Supreme Court largely agreed with Texas that its law prevented federal pre-enforcement lawsuits against state officials because they did not have the authority to enforce SB 8. So when California law mimics SB 8's enforcement mechanism, it is not the identical twin that it appears to be, or maybe even that Newsom wants it to be. So California's new law is somewhat simple. It bans the manufacture and distribution of assault weapons and guns without serial numbers, or the sale and transfer of so-called ghost gun component parts, and the sale of guns to anybody under the age of 21, with some limited exceptions. Now, the law is notable because it explicitly precludes enforcement by state and local governments. SB 1327 is enforced solely by private individuals through civil lawsuits, get ready, alleging that someone knowingly violated its provisions. Yeah. So private plaintiffs from, you know, they're going to benefit from favorable procedural rules regarding standing, affirmative defenses, attorney's fees. Plaintiffs who, you know, prevail will recover a minimum of $10,000 in statutory damages. That's the private side stuff. So in theory, the California law is designed to function like SB 8, although banned conduct may be protected by the Second Amendment. The law is structured to prevent pre-enforcement federal challenges to its constitutionality against any state officials, which is a normal way to vindicate constitutional rights. I know you need to be a constitutional attorney to figure this one out. So because the law is enforced only through private litigation, individuals cannot challenge the law in a federal court without waiting to be sued, raising constitutional protections as a defense. They might be able to sue in state court, although they also might fear that the state court judges are less likely to be receptive to their defenses. So the risk of being sued under plaintiff favorable framework. Mark Capitan, where are you when I need you? That may deter individuals from challenging the law in the first place. For example, abortion providers in Texas generally declined to provide abortions after 6 weeks when a fetal heartbeat is detected for fear of being sued under SB 8, even before the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade and Dobbs. One major way, I think, that SB 1327 here in California differs from its Texas counterpart is that, notwithstanding the Supreme Court's recent decision in Bruin, the law, or the, you know, the in large portions of it anyway, SB 8 was passed while Roe and Casey were good law. You understand? So by banning virtually all abortions after 6 weeks, I know you're scratching the hell out of your head, Texas law violated the right to abortion previability that existed under the Supreme Court precedent. California law does not ban gun possession, only the manufacture, sale, or transfer of certain weapons into certain groups. Now, there is a little bit of clarity right there in that last phrase, all right? I hope. So there's one particular case that didn't mark the end of all gun, you know, gun regulation, for example. The holding should not disturb Well, I no, I didn't want to get into that one because that one will really confuse you. You know, I bring this up only because of this constant willingness of our governor to use this Texas abortion law to deform gun law, which, I mean, is he intentionally trying to confuse the hell out of us, or what is he attempting to do here? I need coffee. But let's look at some of the things that are specifically mentioned in this. Take ghost guns, for example. There is little debate that serialization helps law enforcement trace guns used in crimes, huh? Right? And no federal appellate court has invalidated a ghost gun ban. However, some argue that the lack of historical regulation of self-manufactured firearms supports a right to possess a modern ghost gun in some forms. And these are the unsettled questions of all of this stuff that the governor has proposed by trying to compare this to what's going on in Texas. I don't think he's going to be successful in enforcing this and making it become viable law. Simply because it's confusing as hell, but also this modeling it after what's going on in Texas. So, I mean, California's gun law, this one, increases the odds that the Supreme Court will provide much-needed guidance on the extent to which, you know, states can use private plaintiff enforcement mechanisms to skirt federal judicial review. And that's where I'm just going to put an end to this one. The Supreme Court is going to have to provide this guidance. Again, let me repeat, on the extent to which states like California, and we're doing it in more than one particular law, can use the private plaintiff enforcement mechanism to skirt federal judicial review. You feel any better about that? All right, again, repeating, Gary Bredefeld is going to be here shortly. He's going to be talking about this $1 million that is being funneled to Planned Parenthood. And, you know, this is all about the A word. And I'm sure that he'll be full of fire and all of that when he gets here shortly. This is, you know, he's having a press conference this afternoon, so this is pre-press conference, what you're going to be getting from Gary Bredefeld shortly on KMJ, and he should be here shortly. Russia, Ukraine. There's some stuff going on there that is, I think I'm the only one person left in the country that's still covering this war, but I find it that important. There's like three major stories today. One in particular, though, that I have time for right now, I do believe. Russian occupiers attempted to break through the Ukrainian defenses in Kharkiv, right? That whole region there and several other areas. But they have failed. The Ukrainian general staff notes these constant attacks almost along the entire front line in some places, in particular Donbass. Russian troops have attempted to advance, and no, they're not. They're having troubles. It's indicated that in one particular front, in order to demonstrate their presence and restrain the units of, you know, the defense forces, Russians opened fire from their wonderful line of artillery, which is not all that accurate, as we've discussed. So the Russian occupying forces in Kharkiv continue to destroy military and civilian infrastructure from all available weapon systems, but the occupiers are using this combat aviation for strikes near a couple of strategic areas, really shutting the Russians down. The Russians tried to break through the defense line of the armed forces of Ukraine in a couple of strategic areas around Donbass, and to every certain degree, instant, the Ukrainian soldiers responded harshly and pushed them all back. This is a major defeat for the Russian military. Now, in a related front, the enemy failed to push back the defenders in the areas that are very close to Kharkiv because of the concentrated artillery fire. Then, as they tried to improve the tactical position in one particular spot, they were able to break through. They were able to push the Russians back. And the Russians were shelling a number of different areas, again, close to Kharkiv and a bunch of cities I can't even begin to pronounce. And, you know, Russian aircraft, for the first time, were performing combat flights. We haven't seen this for quite some time. And that, too, not successful. So all of this movement by the Russian military in the area of Kharkiv, which at one time they occupied, they're not having any luck, they being the Russians. No luck whatsoever. Just handed to me. T.J. Cox, the former Valley congressman, you remember, he's been indicted on 28 crimes, including fraud and illegal contributions. Holy Moses.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
Getting back to the last story that I had to rush through, in short, on seven fronts in Ukraine, where Russians had an advantage, five of them, they were defeated. They were defeated. They've been hit very, very hard by the Ukrainian defense. So this is not good news for President Putin, nor are the fires in Crimea, which I will get to later. And the President Putin is now saying that it's all been caused by sabotage. And I will explain. Now, today's Daily Buzz question, and maybe my guest might even want to say something about this. Charged with attempted extortion, should the city of Fresno pay for the criminal defense of the council member Nelson Esparza? Let us know. KMJNow.com. And the Daily Buzz is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center. I have to tell you, the state of California does allow cities to put these expenses, but they don't have to. It's just a matter of, you know, choice. Gary Bredefeld, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ray.
Oh, there's lots going on, isn't there?
There certainly is.
You want to comment on our Daily Buzz question?
Well, I can't because it's a closed session item.
I knew you couldn't.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. I sure can, and I will later. $1 million.
Yes.
Planned Parenthood. Where did this come from?
Well, it was directed by Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula, and as my understanding is, the mayor didn't know anything about it until he found out they were doing it, so he never spoke to the mayor about it, and they decided to funnel this $1 million through the city of Fresno as a pass-through to Planned Parenthood. Now, only 6 months ago, we had two council members who had put a resolution forward that they were going to make the city of Fresno a proud supporter of abortion. And then we held a press conference opposing that along with the mayor, former Mayor Alan Autry, religious leaders, civic leaders, and they thought better of it not to do it. Here we are 6 months later, and now they're, you know, funneling $1 million. Mind you, Planned Parenthood gets over $200 million from the state of California and billions from the federal government. But Joaquin Arambula, the doctor, you have to call him doctor, is funneling $1 million to this abortion mill.
What was his motivation for doing that? Has he said?
No, I don't know what his motivation. I think part of it is political gamesmanship with the mayor. But I don't know. I don't know what Arambula's doing.
Okay, but that $1 million comes from?
State.
The state of California.
Yeah, tax
okay.
dollars.
Tax dollars. Tax mm-hmm. dollars. All right. So, in bypassing the mayor, obviously that he didn't want to face the resistance that the mayor probably would have offered up on this.
And which he's offering now. He sent him a letter saying, you didn't contact me, we didn't know anything about it, this is divisive, we don't want to accept this, but the fact is it's been put forward by three council members and it'll be voted on, and I have no doubt it'll pass.
Yeah, there's really nothing that the mayor can do about it at this point.
No, except veto it.
It's a little slippery, a little slimy, I would think.
Well, I think it's slippery, and I think it's slimy, and I think it's all political, and it's state tax dollars that did not need to go through the city of Fresno. I've checked on that, and I've been told that he could have passed it right to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood gets, as I said, over $200 million from the state of California and billions from the federal government, so... why he did this, I have no idea.
Okay, but I'll play devil's advocate. It's $1 million to Planned Parenthood. Does that mean that every penny is going to be going for abortion?
Probably not, but the fact is you can't say that it won't. That's what they always try to do is cover it up. Well, it's going for an assessment table or this or that. The fact is the mission of Planned Parenthood, the chief primary thing they do is kill unborn babies. That's what they do. They may do a couple of other things, but that's their primary mission, and they're very proud of it. And for these left-wing lunatic radicals like Arambula and the other council members that support this, this is attacking and murdering in very brutal ways unborn babies. And you have to call it for what it is. We can't clean it up anymore. And what used to be safe, rare, and legal, as they talked about, now you can kill babies until the ninth month.
Who are the supporters of this on the council?
You have three council members who are supporting it. It's Chavez, it's Soria, and Arias.
Okay, but that alone doesn't make it veto-proof, right?
No, you have to have, to be veto-proof, you have to have five votes to override a decision.
I never can remember. All right.
Yeah, and this is going to pass either 5-2, 6-1. I suspect it'll be a 5-2 vote. That's what I suspect. And so it'll be veto-proof, but the mayor will still veto it as he should.
Your press conference this afternoon is about, I assume, what we're talking about.
Exactly what we're talking about. And we will have religious leaders there, civic leaders there, many people who are pro-life who find this offensive. You know, Arambula, what he ought to be doing spending this $1 million is fixing the contaminated water in his district. Rather than giving it to people who want to murder unborn babies. This $1 million can be spent a lot of positive ways rather than this. But, you know, this is the same Dr. Arambula who supported extending the bar hours till 4 in the morning, which was going to heap carnage in our streets. So much for the doctor part.
And that, by the way, has been shot down.
Yes, it was shot down by the city of Fresno in terms of we're not going to support it. It still may pass in the legislature.
Interesting headline in the newspaper. $1 million grant to Fresno's Planned Parenthood is unnecessary giveaway of state funds. What's that tell you?
Well, I think it can be better spent. This money, as I said, they're getting over $200 million. Planned Parenthood gets that. Newsom, which wants to make California the abortion capital of the world, is giving $53 million to people who want to come here and get an abortion from out of state. So Planned Parenthood, this abortion mill, it's not that they're not funded. They're funded, unfortunately, through taxpayer dollars. And so this is just another million that they've decided to funnel, at least Arambula did, and this city council is going to support.
But from the editorial point of view of the Fresno Bee, does that headline surprise you a little bit?
It does. Are you talking, is this John Girardi's op-ed?
It's that one.
Yeah, I believe that's John Girardi, who's pro-life.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's the
Central Cal. I wasn't sure of the author. So.
Yeah, no, we would never see the Fresno Bee criticize this. I'm sure they're fully in support of it.
That mystery is solved there. Okay.
Yes.
And then given, you know, this $1 million, what is, how soon would they get it? I mean, is this that's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I mean, does he just write a check, you know, courtesy of the state of California to Dr. Arambula and give it to Planned Parenthood? How does that work formatically?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know how the state will actually distribute the money. I'm sure once it's already been allocated, now it's just a pass-through and the council says, okay, we will do it.
Yeah,
we will be the pass-through.
Sure.
So it's a done deal. When does the state deliver the check to the city of Fresno? I don't know if that's a week or 2 weeks, but they're going to get it.
Okay. Let me take a quick break. From you out there, questions for Gary Bredefeld on this, 490-5858, 800-776-5858. The abortion is such a divisive topic. There's no middle ground. So, I mean, you're either for it or against it. But looking at how much money Planned Parenthood already gets, do they really need this? I mean, let's look at it from an economic point of view, if we can. This is KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJnow.com.
It's free.
Fresno City Councilman Gary Bredefeld is here ahead of his 1 o'clock press conference about this issue of Dr. Arambula supplying the city of Fresno with $1 million from the state for Planned Parenthood. This all falls in line with the governor's plan to basically make this a wide open abortion state. I mean, that's, you know, and he can do that, you know. I mean, based upon the elimination of Roe versus Wade and going back to different states, they can make decisions based upon, you know, their population or the individuals in charge, whatever. First off, I want to say this. It's the way it should be. You know, Roe versus Wade was bad law, and it wasn't the act of abortion that was bad law, although I think abortion is bad. But the way that it was written, you know, in terms of as a constitutional issue, it didn't work. That was the problem. So sooner or later, it was going to drop dead, and it did. So certain states that can will take it upon themselves to make sure abortion is available all the darn time. And that's apparently what's going to be going on in California. Now, one individual who didn't want to be on the air but was able to get me an email is saying, it looks like this council is, you know, what you participate in, is taking on all of these large, you know, social issues, federal things, and really not paying attention to local stuff. How is this, you know, serving constituents $1 million to Planned Parenthood? Is that that can't be construed as like local business, constituent business.
Well, I would agree with that, but let me say this. You know, whenever I've spoken out on issues related to the state or the federal government, I mean, they have a right to express their point of view. I'll always defend their right. I have a right to express my point of view. But people have always looked over the fact that when you run for city council or school boards or whatever, they think that these issues don't come up. And the reality is they do. It does matter who you elect to these local races. Even though they're supposed to be nonpartisan, Ray, you know that they're very partisan, and people have political orientations, and so they do matter. And we're seeing it right here in this instance. They've taken this statewide issue and federal issue, and they've brought it right into the city council, where they're taking state dollars, state taxpayer dollars, and funding an abortion clinic. So it is a reality, and it does matter who you elect to these local races.
I think it's safe to say that the population of California most likely is very, very supportive of abortion. But do we have any idea how the local pulse on that issue is?
Yeah, I don't know what the poll numbers are. I'm not sure.
I don't know that it's ever been polled. I never have heard anything locally about where we stand as a population.
No, I don't know. But I do know that, you know, from my perspective, and it's very clear, you know, I'm very conservative. I don't need to know where the pulse is. I know in my heart this is wrong. And these are defenseless human beings, whether they're at 6 weeks or full term, and they have a right to life. Just as we all sitting in this room had a right to life and we've lived our life, they have a right as well.
All right. 1 o'clock today. Where's the press conference going to be?
It's at City Hall. It'll be at City Hall, and there'll be a lot of people there and very prominent people who will be speaking against this.
Can we say who some of the prominent people are?
Well, we have the bishop from the Catholic Church, who obviously has a very strong point of view. We have people from Right to Life, and we have many pro-life people who are speaking as well.
Well, this is, again, another issue that is divisive. I mean, it's tiring to see this council so divided. I was talking to Nathan Magzig the other day and complimenting him about how they are all able to get along in the county and do the county's business and no more without trying to reach into these big social issues or things that are beyond the sphere of county business. And they're doing a great job. We haven't learned that lesson locally on this particular council, have we?
Well, I appreciate your point of view. I think that the Board of Supervisors needs to engage more on some of these things. I've been critical that they haven't. So again, it's all your perspective. For example, when the pandemic was going on and we had mandates and lockdowns, you know, I was one of the few voices in local government that spoke out against these mandates. I would have loved to have had more support. And their constituents were absolutely impacted by lockdowns and churches being closed and schools with kids being locked out for almost 2 years. And I knew that was destructive, but, you know, a lot of people were silent.
But I'm talking about basically the way that they do business. They're not at each other's throat all the time.
No, they listen, I've told many of my friends on the board, it is nice to see that, you know, they work. Even though they disagree, they don't become disagreeable. And in that regard, I completely agree. There are very strong people with positions, and we fight hard. And I wish it wasn't always that way, but this is the world we live in, Ray. As you see, I mean, they want to cancel people, and they want to silence you. And often it's in very derogatory terms. I mean, I've told people many times, you know, before I came onto the council, I was just known as Dr. Bredefeld, working at the VA, working with veterans. And I came on the council, and all of a sudden I'm called a racist, a white supremacist, an insurrectionist, a devil, a death merchant, all the things I was never called before. Who knew? This is the world in which we live if you're in this arena.
Well, you chose to do it.
Absolutely. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying this is the world we live in. So it isn't as civil as it used to be. Clearly, when I served on the council 25 years ago or 22 years ago, it was not like this. There's no question about it. We had disagreements, but this is a different time we're living in right now. No question.
Some of the stuff, to get away from this $1 million thing for a moment, and I realize on the other about, you know, the city paying for the defense of Esparza and all that, you can't comment.
Right. No.
But there, you have leveled other charges against some of the other council members and Nelson, too, beyond this. Is anything going to materialize with that, those things?
We shall see.
The way that they've spent money is very questionable.
Well, yeah, the whole credit card thing, the misuse of credit card
money.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's an audit that will be taking place. Our city manager, Georgianne White, has contracted with an auditing company. So those audits will take place. But, you know, what I outlined with receipts and documents, and I think I brought them in here, they were 3 pages tall. There's been clear misuse of money. To what degree it rises to, I don't know, but it's clearly a misuse. And these were used as personal and political slush funds. There's no question about it.
So there could be a scenario down the road where some of these council people might be made to pay some of this back themselves.
You know, Ray, honestly, I doubt it. But the fact is,
but that could be one possible scenario.
Oh, sure. They should. I mean, they're spending all kinds of tens of thousands of dollars on political issues, and they get stipends for luncheons. They're spending tens of thousands on lunches. They're sending their interns to movies. They're buying logos, as we talked about, for the council president.
That was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard.
And threw himself, you know, a nearly $3,000 celebratory party for the council president. So clearly a waste of taxpayer money.
Can I ask how big of a stipend you guys get and what is it for, essentially?
We get $5,000 for the year, and that includes travel and meals and anything else you feel you need to use for business. And it's certainly reasonable. And in spite of getting that in addition to our salary, they were using these slush funds, these taxpayer budgets, district budgets, for all the things that I just outlined.
Well, give them hell. Again, press conference today, 1 o'clock, where?
City Hall, and we look forward to talking about this. It's an important issue for our citizens.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Ray.
Hour number two coming up on the Appleton program, and we got a lot of stuff to get into. This issue with TJ Cox, I'm going to go through this again, and you're going to hear about it at the top of the hour news here, but this too, a lot of you, again, looking at my email and some things on Messenger, you're not surprised at all. So no big shockaroony. We'll get into that and other stuff in the next hour on KMJ. Stay with us.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.